God is still talking about these chains. And at this point, he's talking about chains that you didn't know you had. How about that? You have some chains that you didn't even know that you have. Amen?
Amen.
And some of us are actually winning in life, but we don't realize it. We deny the gifts that God has given us. And so we convince ourselves, or we let other people convince us, that we're losing. And so then we try to live up to and emulate those who are actually behind us. And God doesn't want that. But there are yet some things that we need to get right that aren't right. There are still some things where we need to get our house in order. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can't get it in order unless you know, right? And so if you still have chains and you're still held back, you're still on lockdown, you need to hear about it, right?
Amen.
Amen. So look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm going to get this right. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to get this right for this message today, you've got to be real. If you're not real any other time, if you're not honest any other time, I need you to be honest and real today. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to be real today. Uh-huh. Real honest now. You won't be able to get this right unless you're real, unless you're honest. It's just family, all right?
Yeah.
Amen. Just family. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about going from the mountaintop and down to the valley. We've been talking about going from a high place, a lofty place, a place of victory, down to a valley where you get to the point to where you even tell God a thing or two, tell him off. Fail to realize how wonderful he is. Forget how great he is. And we learned that first from Joshua, and we learned that how carnal actions can result in spiritual damage. Amen?
Amen.
And then next we learned last week from Solomon, and we learned about how strengths can be overdone, and therefore they become weaknesses in your overdoing. Amen?
Amen.
You can get a reputation for something, and trying to live up to that reputation, you can ruin your relationship with God. You can be too giving to where you stop giving according to God's will, and it's all about you and your rep, all about you and what people say about you. Amen?
Amen.
Today, we're going to be in Proverbs yet again, and I want to briefly talk to you about the dangers of extremes, because there are some chains that we still have that we don't even realize. And so the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about chains you didn't know you had. And so today we're going to talk about more chains that you didn't know you have. If we didn't catch you the last couple of weeks, we might catch you today. God knows what he's doing. And so I give you the warning that you got to be real today. You got to be raw in order to benefit from this message. And so in that regard, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or lift your voices. I'm going to ask you to write down your answers to these questions, because we need you to be honest. Today we are admitting man's frailty. This is not one of those messages. This is one of those messages you better receive it if you want to be right. And this is one of those messages where if it sinks into your mind to say, I reject this or that, right now is the moment to stop that thought process. Because today, in order to get it right, you've got to realize and admit we are frail. We've got to have Jesus. We have some frailties, and we need to admit those, or else we can't get it right. How many of you would like to be rich? You don't have to say it out loud. Just write down for yourself. You can't be honest with others until you're honest with yourself. Would you like to be rich? I mean wealthy. I do not mean spiritually rich. That's not what we're talking about. This is not about religiosity, even though it is about your spiritual life. But I'm asking you, would you like to be rich? And then I want you to answer this for yourself. Don't answer. You don't have to answer me. How many of you are rich? How many of you are wealthy? Be honest now. And these are not trick questions. Be honest. Are you wealthy? Secondly, how many of you would rather, I ask you, would you like to be rich? Would you rather be poor? Answer honestly. Would you rather be poor? And the next question is, how many of you are poor? Are you poor? Mm-hmm. I mean in money. In money, are you poor? I'm not talking about spirit. I'm asking you, are you poor? Now, what if you were poor? I'm talking about in money, and you didn't know it. What if you are poor and you don't know it? Additionally, what if you are poor, but you don't admit it? What if you're poor and you don't admit it? And what damage can that do? There's about two or three people that can sense where I'm going, and the rest of you are wondering, what is he talking about? That's all right. Let's go to our text. I told you we're still in the book of Proverbs. God still wants to teach us these lessons from the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 30 is where we are. Proverbs chapter 30 is where we are. We see the leaves. Praise God. Amen. Good to see you. So remember, warning, you got to be real. You got to be raw to get this. You've got to be honest to get this. And we're asking the question, are you poor? We're talking about the danger of extremes. And we're talking about chains that you have that you didn't even know you had. More chains that you have that you did not know that you have. So the text is Proverbs chapter 30. And we're just looking at verses 7 through 9. Now, this is a section of scripture that is written not by Solomon, by the way. We are done at this point through chapters 29, 1 through 29. That's Solomon's writings. But this section, these last two chapters of Proverbs, the theologians call the appendix, because they view the writings of Solomon as the main text, the main body of work in the book of Proverbs. And so this is called the appendix. And this aspect is written by a man named Agur. And he had some disciples, and they were asking him for some great prophecy or some great word of wisdom. And as he responds, what he does is he responds by indicating, I'm nothing, I'm wretched. He debases himself in a humble way. And then he lifts up God and he says, who holds the seas in his hand? Who can grab the winds with his fist? Basically saying, I'm nothing, God is everything. Amen? I'm nothing, God is everything. And then he begins to respond that by indicating he's nothing and letting them know about his relationship with God and his prayer to God. If you think about that, you could wax eloquently, with wisdom and show how knowledgeable you are, how powerful you are, how great a man or woman you are. But what if you taught people? What if you injected into people's lives by telling them about your relationship with God and revealing to them what you pray to God about? That could be a powerful example. And yet this man, you've never heard of him. And he's not trying to be fancy. He's not trying to be religious. He's not trying to be all wise and trying to sound like more than he is. And yet he still has something to tell us. Amen? Amen. So let's see what he has to say. So let's take a look at verse 7. This is this gentleman named Agur, and he is answering the question essentially that's been posed to him by his disciples, them wanting to hear some great prophecy, some great word of wisdom. And instead of trying to act all wise, he's beginning by telling them about his relationship with God and by sharing his prayer to God. He says two things. This is him speaking to God. Two things have I required of thee. I'm speaking from the King James. And so unfortunately in the King James, they say some words that don't make a lot of sense to us. Two things have I requested from you is really what that should say. Two things, God, that I have asked of you. Please deny me them not before I die. If you had two things to ask of God, what would they be? Remember, today we're talking about being real and being raw. So I don't want you to say it out loud. I want you just to write it down if you choose to, or just log it in your mind. but it needs to be honest. Two things have I required of thee, I have asked of thee. Please don't deny me those two things. If you had two things that you didn't want to fail to have while you were here on earth before you die, what would they be? What would they be? So these two things he's about to reveal to us and to his disciples. He says, remove far from me vanities and lies. Remove far from me vanities and lies. Now, do you want vanities and lies to be removed far from you? You do? All right. So that'll be the easy part then, right? Are you living with vanities and lies right now? Are you lying to yourself? Are you lying to others? Are you focusing on stuff that doesn't really matter? So that's a good thing to ask God, right? But this gets interesting, though. He says in his next request, we'll see how much you identify with this one. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, let's stop there for just 1 minute. How many of you said you wanted to be rich? You can raise your hand this time. You want to be rich. All right. And this man, in trying to deliver some wisdom, he says, give me neither riches nor poverty. So how do you feel about that? Would you turn down riches? Would any of you turn down riches? Would you turn down riches? Would you literally go beyond that? Yeah, I see a no over here. You wouldn't turn down riches. All right. Now, let's go further. Would you tell God, don't make me rich. Don't give me riches. And yet, this man is saying that. So we would accept the riches, right? How many of us are really ready for riches? How many of us have an example in your life of how to handle wealth? If you don't have that example, you're not going to handle wealth. I guarantee you. If you don't have an example of how to handle wealth, you will not handle it if you get it. And guess what? Therefore, you're not likely to get it, because God doesn't want you to have wealth if you can't handle wealth. Amen? Amen. I told you this needs to just raw and real, right? Okay. So he says, remove vanities and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, it's important to note, why does he say this? He goes beyond that and he says, feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, give me, it's just like the Lord's Prayer. That's right. Give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need, Lord. Be my enough, rather my more than enough. Meaning I can look far into the future and I can see with my faith's eye God giving me enough every single day. So I don't live with a mindset of lack. Give me more than enough. Why is this important? We're going to come back to this. But if you are wealthy, when you're poor and when you're lacking, do you pray more than when you have a lot? You do. And when you're healthy and you have no problems and you seem to be able to handle things, you can lift all the weights, you can run as far as you want to, do you take your health that God gives you for granted? Do you start thinking that you're healthy just because you eat well, just because everything's organic, because you took the right vitamins? You stop thinking that it's about God and you think it's about you. And if you see somebody that's healthy, like you see on these commercials on TV, you'll buy anything because they say, that's how I got like this. And if somebody's wealthy, they can tell you anything and you'll follow them. And so when you have a lot, it's very easy to forget God. That's the problem with Joshua. Joshua was so victorious, he became famous. And when he became famous, he thought he could just go anywhere and do anything and win the victory, even without God. So when the victory didn't come, he started blaming God. How did he get from here down here? Because it was about him up here, and it's very easy, very easy. We're talking about the frailty of man. And right now we're talking about the frailty of man if he is wealthy, if he is powerful, if he's always healthy. The frailty then is that pride comes before a fall. You have the same frailty that the bearer of light, Lucifer, had. When you have it so good, the problem is then you're apt not to see God for who he is. Same thing with Eve and Adam. So yes, if you're healthy, you can start thinking that somebody other or something other than God got you there. And when you see somebody with something, they could tell you anything if you don't know about how to get there. They can tell you anything and you'll follow them to the ends of the earth, assuming that's how you're supposed to get there. If God wants you to be wealthy, you better think twice about how you're pursuing it. Because you might be wasting your time going down a road that's not the road God prescribed for you. You could be knowledgeable. You can get all of the knowledge of astrophysics and atomic physics and seem to be able to unlock all of the mysteries of the universe. And then you can feel like you're God. You notice that if you watch this Discovery Channel and the Science Channel, we've gotten to the point to where we know so much, we can send probes out into the universe that all of a sudden, therefore, we can ascribe to or subscribe to the Big Bang Theory. Guess what? The Big Bang Theory is right, but I'm just here to tell you who caused the Big Bang. God can use a Big Bang to start his universe. That's his prerogative. But if you go to that point, to the Big Bang, and if that causes you to think less of God, now that's where your problem is. Now, all of a sudden, your knowledge takes you from the mountaintop down to the valley. Amen? If you're in a position of power, you've got it like that. You call the shots. You can forget that God is who puts you there, and you can start to think less of God. That's how you can go from a high place down to a low place and find yourself in despair. If you have friends and connections, you can get things done. You can go places. You can buy things. Guess what? You can therefore forget that God is the one that blessed you to get all those things. Amen? All of these things can cause you to forget and neglect God. Why? Because all of these things can make you feel like you don't need God. So you want to be wealthy. I'm here to tell you, if you are wealthy, if you are rich, if you never have to worry about your money, if your money is long as the days are, you will be apt to forget God. Are you ready for that? Can you have wealth and still know from whence cometh that wealth? So this man, he's telling God, two things am I asking of you? And one of those things is he says, I don't want poverty or wealth. Now let's go to verse 9 and then we'll double back. He says, he's telling you why he doesn't want poverty or wealth. He says, lest I be full and deny thee. He is admitting. We would say, I reject that. I would never do that. He's admitting the frailty of man. I just told you two great biblical people in the Bible who went from here to here. Don't think it can't happen to you. Joshua was on the mountaintop. His name was known everywhere for his victory, and yet he found himself blaming God and saying, we should have never came over the Jordan. This is the great Joshua. And Solomon, with all of that wisdom, God gave him the wisdom in order to judge the people properly, and he humbly asked for it. So God made him rich, and he spent his time taking that wisdom, trying to ponder all of the things of the universe. And that took him into depression. As he pondered all the things of the universe, all of a sudden, he started to see all of the maladies of man. And it took him to an ugly, dark place, and he barely came out of it by the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Who told you to ponder all those things with the wisdom I gave you, Solomon? Who told you to begin questioning me? You could have come to me, the same one that you asked for the wisdom in the first place. You could have come to me and asked me about the universe. But no, everybody came to you thinking you were so wise. So all of a sudden, you got too big-headed. Your strength became a weakness. You went from a great man with God on your side to thinking you should test out all the women in the world and all the stuff in the world so you can learn from experience and then you'd have wisdom. Who told you to do that, Solomon? So the last couple of weeks we've been learning about folks who have it really good and that can cause them to fall because they can forget God. And both Joshua and Solomon did that. But the emphasis today, and I'm going to try not to take too long, is poverty. He says he doesn't want to be rich and he doesn't want to be poor. But what's important today is, as we look at the frailty of man and the difficult and dangers of extremes, is exactly why he doesn't want to be poor. So let's look at that. He says in verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee. So this is what we've been focusing on up to this point. And say, who is the Lord? In other words, when you're full, when you got it all, who's the Lord? Solomon, you know, the most wise man in the world, the richest man in the world. Who's God? Why go to him when you have it like that? He says, or lest I be poor, and what does it say? And take the name of my God in vain. So I'll again ask you, are you poor? I don't know what your answers were, but here he's talking about real poverty, not spiritual, material poverty. And I'm asking you, do you know whether you're poor or not? I told you today you got to be real. Okay? Here, I'll give you a poverty test. Do you struggle to have adequate food, shelter, or clothing? Do you struggle to have adequate food, shelter, or clothing? If that describes you, then you're definitely poor. Now, if we haven't gotten to you yet, if you have to borrow to pay for these things, then it's the same thing as not having it. Okay? I'm asking you, are you poor? Are you poor? Because here is the point. I told you we need to be real. In the United States of America, we have this thing called the middle class. But it's not real in most cases. In the United States of America, you can look and act like you got something when you don't have it. And so you'll have people that have truly a little bit. If you melted them down, their net worth would be positive. And yet they're trying to follow and emulate folks who, if you melted them down, they'd be as negative as the day is long. But they think there's some future in their front. I'm asking you, are you poor? And I'm asking you not to reject that. I'm the king's kid. I'm the head and not the tail. That's exactly why you're still poor, because you're not admitting the truth. This man is giving you a gift. He is admitting the frailty of man at his best, at his strongest, at his wisest. But you've got to admit when you've got a problem that needs to be fixed. How many of you are struggling right now with this thought? I don't want to admit I'm poor. I'm not poor. That goes against all the theology I've been taught. That goes against all the things I've been claiming all my life. I'm asking you if you're poor, if you've got to borrow, and you've got to get money from folks that you know you ain't going to pay back, then you're poor. Why is it important to know that you're poor? Because if you can realize you are poor, then you can change. And I'm not looking at your bank account. I'm asking you, do you think poor and act poor? If you think and act poor, then we all know you're poor even when you're not admitting it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, there are ways, I've told you, in our society that we can act like we're not poor when we really are. And it's important to know when you're poor, because what does the man say? He says, I don't want to be poor. He says, lest I steal. Any of you steal? You don't think you do. You don't think you're stealing. Lest I steal. Or hear me now, or I do something else that sullies God's name. lest I steal. Lord, I don't want to be rich because I can't handle it. I'm telling you right now, I will forget about God. I will diminish God. I will neglect God. If I'm rich, I won't have a reason to go to him. Because he ain't nothing but an ATM machine anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, lest I steal or take the Lord's name in vain. Most theologians say that this is not really swearing or anything like that. This is where you sully God's name, where your actions make God look bad. Mm-hmm. So some of you stealing and you don't know you're stealing. Today is the day you're going to be honest and real and raw, and you're going to have an opportunity. Now, you may not take it, an opportunity to admit the truth and get it right. Sister Carmen, that's what she put in the prayer. It's easy to pray it, harder to live it. We got to be real and raw today. So we're talking about, are you poor? Anybody got an answer? Anybody got a different answer now than in the beginning? Yeah. Amen. Now, we have ways in our society to make ourselves not look poor when we're really poor. Because we do struggle for food, shelter, and clothing, but it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. So now, you say you don't cheat, and you might have a hard time admitting that you're making God look worse with your decisions. Do you cheat on your taxes? Do you lie on your taxes? Do you take deductions that you shouldn't? Do you hide income? Now, we have some entrepreneurs in our society. Some of them cut our hair. And try to find more than one that does not lie about their income. God blesses them, and they subvert the system. I'm not trying to say that all hairdressers and barbers are bad. I'm using that as an example that everybody in here knows. So here's what I'm saying. If you're not poor, then why are you acting poor? What this man is doing is he is saying, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be poor. Because when you're poor, you're desperate. This is real. If you really can't eat and you're truly hungry, you might take something that belongs to somebody else because you're trying to survive. He's saying, Lord, I don't want to get so fat that I forget about you. And I don't want to get so bad off that my baser instincts take over. Isn't that a beautiful thing to ask for? Admitting his weaknesses. When you can't admit your true frailties, then you get like Eve and you think you can do it. And then when you don't die immediately, then your husband might even follow you, Eve. Because it doesn't look like you're poor. She was spiritually bankrupt at that moment, but it didn't look like it. So are you cheating on your taxes? If you are, you're poor. I don't care what your bank account says. You're thinking poor and you're acting poor. You're doing desperate things, cheating, stealing. But you're justifying it. And the only way you can justify cheating and stealing is if you're actually poor. So, oh, you're poor. You're thinking and acting poor. You just didn't know you were poor. And when you do those things, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. What will they say about you as a man or woman of God? Will they say God is great? Or will they say you're no different from the next person? Do we cheat on our taxes less often than the general population as Christians? Do we? If you lie on an application for a job or other programs, have you ever done it? As a Christian, have you left church on Sunday and sometime during the week you lied in order to get a job or to get some other program, some scholarship? You lied. You hid the truth and you justified it as if you were desperate. If you're desperate, that's one thing. So you're acting poor, even though you would say you're not. This man doesn't want to be poor because he knows what would happen. He would steal and he would do things that made God look bad. So, Lord, please don't put me in that situation. There's some things I pray for. My family knows it, but it has more to do with, don't put me in that position, Lord. Don't put me in a position where I got to protect mine because I'm probably going to do that. And I don't want to have to end up in jail or worse, right? Please, Lord, just don't put me in the situation. My daughter's back there shaking her head. Give me a chance to walk away. Give me a chance to get out of it because I'm going to go all the way. I'm not trying to win the fight. I'm trying to end the fight. So I say, Lord, just don't put me in the situation. Please don't put me in the situation. Amen. So we're admitting human frailties. Amen. If you can't be real, you'll never get it right. Have you ever borrowed money that you don't plan to pay back? Or you can't pay back? If you're really poor, if you're truly in poverty, the kind of poverty this man was talking about, which in his day you couldn't hide it. You were either a beggar or you were somebody's slave in his day. Oh, but we begging and we're somebody's slave, but it don't look like it. You begging the man and you a slave to Visa and MasterCard, but it don't look like it. Because people can't see. Or forget about Visa and MasterCard. The same masters, by the way, sometimes look like a mortgage company. So they'll let you take out and mortgage your future on that big old, on that house that's made of wood and nothing else that will go up in flames at any time. Or they'll let you borrow money that you know you can't pay back, so you can pay your bills. Sometimes we'll borrow the money. This is where it gets the craziest. You'll borrow the money on that thing so that you can pay your bills. Oh, but we're not poor. Don't look like it. We're in the nice house. We got the nice car. Only in the United States of America and other Western countries do you have terminology like house poor. You ever heard that term? House poor? Car poor, what does that mean? That means you've made some decisions so that you can look good and you as poor as the day is long. So we're asking you, are you poor? The real question I'm asking you is, do you think poor and do you act poor? Because if you do, you actually are poor and you are doing things that make God look bad. And you're stealing, amen? This is a hard word, isn't it? It's hard if you have some changing to do. It's hard if you have some improving to do. Now, another thing that will point out that you are poor when you might not realize it. You've got chains on your life. Your relationship with God is at risk, and you're making God look bad. Do you give God only a little bit? Do you give God? Now, we say grateful, 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 and we are a giving church. But not all of us give God everything that he should have. Now, if you're poor, the widow's mite is the greatest story we could ever tell. But that's the widow and her mite. Amen. But do you give God what you should give God? I'm not naming any names in this church, but we will give God less than we should, and then we'll always find money for everything else. And here's the crazy thing. When we do the everything else, then we come back to God's house and cry poor. Well, wait a minute. But you had the money for everything else. Well, I could go through a list of everything else's, but then you guys would think I'm talking about you. I could talk about Vegas. How do we have that money? I could talk about grown folk that should be living by your example and therefore taking advantage of the wonderful opportunities in this United States of America and therefore carving out a living for themselves. But we're going poor. Why? Because we're enabling grown folks, not ever allowing them, enabling them to grow up, handicapping them, and thinking and acting and ultimately actually being poor in the process. What are they getting from you, actually? I don't mean at the moment that you do the enabling thing and basically never let them grow their own muscles. And then you come and give God less than you should. The widow's mite gave more than we expected, right? I'm talking about how do we end up giving God less than he deserves? I didn't say you were robbing God, but I can tell you this. You're thinking and acting poor at that point. Amen? Amen. And there are other obligations that we fail to meet. That could be child support or any other thing that you're supposed to pay someone where there's no debtor's note attached to it. So all of these things are ways that we actually instinctively are acting like a poor person would, and yet we wouldn't have said before today that we are poor. Oh, you've got a roof over your head. Oh, you've got a car to drive. Oh, you have food in your mouth. Oh, you have clothes on your back. But how are you getting it? You're poor in some cases, but you're not admitting you're poor. But all the decisions that you're making show that you're thinking and acting poor. I said some people are house poor. Some people are car poor. Some people are shoe poor. And some people are purse poor. Because we'll have money for that stuff. And yet, we turn around and we don't have enough money to take care of our real responsibilities, so we ask the man for an extension, as my wife would say. Or we slow pay our obligations. Or we come to God and try to make it seem like I'm giving till it hurts. It only hurts because you spent all God's money somewhere else. We're talking about the thing that God knows that often people don't know that allow you to stay poor and hurt God's name and diminish your spiritual life as a result, actually. All of these things reveal a scarcity or a lack mindset. We've been taught here that God is a God of provision. He's a God of more than enough. And if he's a God of more than enough, meaning every one of the days that you will live from here to eternity, he's going to meet your needs, then you shouldn't be doing any of these things where you cheat and you lie and you manipulate and you make God look bad. Every time you do that, if I got to cheat on my taxes, if I've got to borrow where I know I'm not going to pay back, if I've got to do those things, is that a life of more than enough? Is that a life that shows that I know my God has got me? No, when you tell the truth, even though it hurts, when you tell the truth on the application and depend on God to move their heart, when you fill out your taxes honestly, knowing that God is your provision. But we don't do that because we live in a scarcity mentality. We are poor, but we won't admit it. If you know you're poor, then you'll do like this man and you'll pray, Lord, please protect me from myself. Don't let me get there because my baser instincts might come into play because I understand that I have human frailties. All of these things are consistent with being poor and you make God look bad. There is something, and I'm almost ready to wrap up, that's even worse. What if God is blessing you with more than enough? This might hit more people than the other stuff. But you think and act poor anyway. What if he's giving you plenty and you still cheat him? What if he's done all that for you and you still think and act poor? What if you have enough money, but you just don't like the idea of paying somebody back because you feel like they owed you, you know, you deserve what they gave you? What if you have enough to take care of your needs and you take it all and spend it? I don't want to pick on Vegas. We could pick anywhere. Multiple vacations. Vegas is easy because it's local, because we're in California. You know what I'm saying? That's where most deposits are made. I'm just being real. Let's just be real. How many been to Vegas? God, you know? Man. I said in the beginning we had to be real and raw. If we can't be real and raw, then we can't. You're not going to hear what I'm trying to say. You're not going to hear what God's trying to say. It's even worse if you have enough and then you rob God. I can't wait to get raises because I give more than 10% of that raise. I can't tell you how much I give to God. I know it's more than 10%. I can't tell you how much. I can't beat him giving. Money chases you. I don't want to get too heavy into that. I'm just telling you, when you think that scarcity and you're playing those games, you just dig in a deeper hole. That's all you're doing. There's no future in your front. The truth will make you free. And not everybody in here that needs to hear this can probably hear it. And yet it's my job to say it anyway. My job to say it anyway. It's terrible. So are you poor? If you didn't know that you were poor, are you thinking and acting poor? Your relationship with God, as this man points out in this proverb, can be ill affected by the fact that you are thinking and acting poor. So he says in verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal or take the Lord's name in vain, hurt God's reputation. A lot of the things that we do, trying to hide the fact that we're poor, hurt God's reputation. And you think because nobody knows that you're not hurting his reputation. But as long as you're cheating or manipulating or lying or avoiding, guess what? That's not depending on God. That's hurting your relationship with God. Now, I'm going to end with this. Because the majority of what I wanted to talk about was to be raw and real about this issue of poverty and whether we admit it. What Paul talks about in the same chapter that Pastor Trina mentioned earlier in chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ. Now, if you are walking in the Lord, truly, as she said, following like Paul, then you can do all things through Christ. But we all know what that Scripture means, not the way people throw it around. He wasn't saying I can do anything I want to. He wasn't saying I could reach into my pocket and pull out of my wallet the Christ card. He was saying I can be abased, I can be humble, I can be poor, and I can abound, I can be rich. I can have no needs whatsoever. I can be hungry, and I can be full. I can do all of those. I actually, because I have Christ, I can actually be poor. I don't have to pray this guy's prayer because it's not going to ruin me if I'm wealthy. And I'm not going to start lying and cheating and stealing and hiding and manipulating if I get poor. I can do all things. I can be in any situation, and I know how to be content. Why? Because God is my provision. With Jesus, this man didn't have Jesus. With Jesus, I can do all those things. I don't have to say, help me avoid that. Now, I'm admitting the fact that even with Jesus, I don't want to be put in a situation where I got to protect me or mine. I don't want to be put in that corner. Because I believe I know what would be unleashed. You know, so I'm being honest like this man. But I pray that I'll have all the God I need in that moment. But I'm not asking for the fire to put my hand in it. I'm not asking for what I believe is a weakness to be challenged. All of us has something that we wrestle with. And while you're supposed to have all the God in you that was put in you, you still know that you should be avoiding some situations, right? You still know there's some places and circumstances you should be avoiding that you should stay away from. Because the moment you think, oh, you're completely delivered, and you may be, you still know that man has frailties, amen?
Amen.
But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Only with Christ can you be poor and live like your daddy's rich. If your daddy was rich, would you steal? if your daddy was rich, would you have to lie? If your daddy was rich, would you not pay your responsibilities? If your daddy was rich, would you have to do all those things? No. And if you do get on the mountaintop and you are wealthy, you know how to act like you've been there before. You know how to act like you belong. When somebody wins the lotto, they don't belong. They don't know how to handle money. They don't know money. They haven't lived with money. They're not acquainted with money. They don't understand money. When you have money, you know how to get money. You know how to keep money because you get money. You understand money. So if your daddy's wealthy and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, guess what? You should act like you know what money is all about. Amen? Amen. So when you get it, what should you do? Give it. And that builds on itself. Just like all the lies and manipulations, we dig a hole, we get a little deeper, we start to get out of the hole, and then something happens and our instincts come in and we dig a deeper hole than we started with in the first place. All along, living in total fear that the world's going to find you out. You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. Living in total panic that the world's going to find you out. And because of that fear, you dig that hole even deeper the next time, because that's all you know how to do. Manipulate, maneuver, lie, avoid, hide, sweep it under the rug. Poor thinking, poor acting. That's because you are poor. Let's end the poorness by making good decisions, being honest, making sound decisions like you know money. So you'll end up with a positive net worth, both financially and spiritually, that's real. Let's give the Lord a hand praise.